Fire. After that, amen, let's go home. I mean, I guess, you know, whatever I'm going to say is just going to kind of reiterate what God has already laid on our laps. In such a tremendous way, as God always does. And we are been looking at prayer, different aspects of prayer, and there's quite a few things in there, and there's a lot more than what we've covered, and before we move on, we won't cover it all, so please feel free to continue to look into the Word and allow God to teach you some more of this stuff. Am I a little loud? No? We're good? Okay. What I want to do today is really share a practical aspect of prayer. And it seems like it's maybe not a practical aspect of prayer. It could actually apply to a lot of areas in our life. But in our prayer life, we really need to have this. I mean, is God not wonderful? I mean, really. Those manifestations, I feel like, you know what? God just wants to reassure us so much of His love for us and His faithfulness to us. He delights in us. I mean, that manifestation, it was just incredible. God, the creator of the universe, not made with hands, right? This isn't no fake God we're talking about. This is the creator of the universe, delights to be with us. That, to me, just is like, wow, that could be a lesson for today in and of itself, huh? And He delighted in us so much, and He cares so much for us, and He wants us to know Him so personally that He protected, even through the years of translation, centuries, His Word. Because this is where you begin to understand God's heart. This is where God makes available to you eternal life. This is where you learn about Jesus Christ. And if people don't know how to read, if they don't know how to understand, God sends people to those people that do. And we're some of those people. We know this information. We have knowledge that other people have never been exposed to. We have a responsibility to that God that delights in us. Well, I'll speak for myself. I feel like I have a responsibility. Not a condition, a responsibility to do the things that God says we can do from His Word, to be the examples to people day by day, little things, big miracles, little miracles. I shared one time with someone, we had gotten a new car for our 25th wedding anniversary or one of those anniversaries, and it was a little red Mustang. It was that year when they did the retro Mustangs, brought them back, because that was the first car I ever owned. I was really taking care of that little Mustang, and I went to an appointment, and I was like, okay, God, I want a good parking place where there's plenty of room, but I'm kind of late, so I need to hurry, so it really needs to be up front, and I'm just talking to God. And man, I pull in there, and there's never a parking place. And there it was, right up front. So I go in, I'm talking to the lady I have the appointment with, and she's asked me about the car, and I said, oh yeah, man, the car is awesome. I said, look out there. There it is, look. I said, and God got me that parking space just so I could make sure that car was okay while I'm up here with you. Kind of joking about up here with you, you know. And she goes, God has more important things to do than find you a parking place. And I said, Nope. That is just as important to God as anything else He'll do in my life, because He loves me the same through every circumstance and every prayer I ask and everything I do with Him. People don't understand that kind of God. You know, He's really concerned about a parking place. Yeah, if that's a need and that will bless you, He will do what He needs to do. And that's one of the things I really want to talk about today is, what do we do when we pray? We got something in our hearts. We ask God. We make sure first and foremost it's lined up with what? The Word. So what do I do between the time that I pray and the time that the prayer gets answered? Now, I want to see a show of hands. Is there anybody in this room who has prayed to God and every time you've prayed, you got an immediate answer, just like that?
Yeah.
Okay, you for listening on the tape or whatever we listen to here, you know what? Not one hand went up. Because that just isn't the way it is it? God has his timing. God has the big picture. This may not be the right time for me to have a particular thing I think is the right time. So what happens when it doesn't happen? What happens with your mind? Where do you go? Because I'm going to tell you something really, really important here. If you lose your focus, and your focus should be on a certain thing, which I'm getting ready to tell you here in a minute. If you lose your focus on God's trustworthiness, on his faithfulness for you, on his love for you, on him wanting only the best for you, if you lose focus during the time you pray and the time you get your answer, it's going to take God longer to do what he needs to do for you. Because when we lose focus, we start to come up with our own solutions. Amen. Patience is a big deal. And patience is to have the capability, okay, now this is our part, the capability to accept and tolerate delay. That's a definition. And I was like, whoa. We need to be patient with our God. You know that? Now, I will say this, even though I know you, I don't have to. He's so patient with us. With me in particular, I know he has great patience. He does. But you know what? We need to learn to tolerate and accept delay sometimes. Because not everything needs to happen exactly on my timetable. I want to look at James chapter 1. Anybody there yet? Who wants to read it? Chapter 1, verse 2 through 8.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Okay, stability. We do not want to be unstable, do we? No. And what does the word say? If we keep our focus on God, if we go to God and ask God for the wisdom, you know, have you ever been waiting for prayer to be answered and then go to God and say, Father, I don't understand. I've prayed about this. What's going on? Or do you just like get frustrated? Okay, I'm praying again. All right, I'm going to ask again. Now, you know what? Just in that attitude of heart, you know you're not really looking to God to do anything. You're just frustrated. But you know what? God overlooks a lot of that stuff. Because no amount of our frustration or unbelief will stop God from doing what God really deems he needs to do in our lives. Now, he will not ever overstep our free will. But he has many ways in which to take care of us and bless us that never cross or enter our thinking. And we have to remember that stuff. This is just the practical things that to grab your mind. Don't lose your focus on God. Don't get uptight. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians Are you guys there? Okay. We're going to start in verse 4. Everybody thought, oh, she's going to read Philippians 4, 6. Yeah, I am, but we're going to start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. You know what? Let your gentleness be known unto you also. Tell yourself that you can be patient. Tell yourself, you know what, God, I trust you. Okay, I don't understand this, but I trust you. And then verse 6, be anxious for nothing, nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer
and supplication. With what?
Thanksgiving.
Not with anxiety, not with impatience, but with thanksgiving. Make known your prayers unto whom? Let your requests be known unto God. Not Jeannie. Well, Jeannie, I've been praying about this and praying. Jeannie, will you pray with me? Because I've just been praying about this and God, I just don't see it. God says go to him. Now, it's okay to pray with someone else, but not out of anxiety. Okay? Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
That includes unanswered prayer. Okay? Be anxious for nothing. Make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Okay, here's a clue. These are practical things. And let the peace of God. You're going to have peace if you make that request known unto God with thanksgiving. He's going to give you that peace. That peace will guard your heart. It will keep the adversary from being able to talk you out of the promise that you are holding on to from God's word that you know God is capable and willing to do for you. And he's going to do it at the right time, the right place. That is what our God does. He does the right thing at the right time in our lives. And sometimes his timing, it says so, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But he asks us to trust him. He asks us to be capable of putting our trust into his hands, and our faith, our believing action, would be to trust him and not get anxious. I mean, you know, and I understand this is really sometimes for me, very challenging in some areas. You know, when you're dealing with a chronic type of situation, you know, like my knees, you know, I sometimes get very frustrated. And I will be in my bedroom and I will say, God, I do not understand this. Why? And then I realize, Vicki, just be thankful. Just start thanking God. You are alive. You can breathe. God has blessed your life in so many ways. What are you doing focusing on something that you gave to God? Because he will do the right thing at the right time. Now, I don't say we're going to understand every bit of it, because we're not. But that's the point. It's trust and confidence in God, who is faithful to deliver what God says he's going to deliver. You know, a really good example of this is Abraham, right? Go to Hebrews. And I really love this story. This particular part, I love it. I think Abraham was such a great man of God, such a good guy. You know, God had promised him that he was going to be the father of many nations. You know, and his physical health and Sarah's physical health were not all that great, right? But did he let that stuff get to his head? Yes, he did. He did. Look at Hebrews 6. I'm sorry. Did I say? Where am I? Hold on. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he would swear by no greater, by sorry, start over. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Okay, he patiently what?
Endured.
But you know what he did during that time? He lost focus. What did God tell him? Him and Sarah were going to have a child, right? Mm-hmm. How long did that take? Anybody remember? Over 20 years. Okay, we'll go with that. Over 20 years. And you know what? He decided, and Sarah decided, I'm barren. Well, Abraham, why don't you go into my handmaid? So, back in those days, when you were not able to have a baby, you had handmaidens, and your husband would get permission to go and have sex with a handmaiden. So that's what they did. That's what God told him, is it? So when he lost focus of what God told him, he came up with a solution. And Sarah helped him. Was that what God's promise was? And did it work? No. And God finally goes, that's not who I said you were going to have a child with. I'm paraphrasing here now. I told you Sarah. And so he sent the two guys, that the angels that appeared to be men, and ministered to them, and they ended up believing what God told them to do. And what happened? Exactly what God promised them would happen. Now, did it take some time? Yeah. And I tell you, I have to, 22 years, I'd probably lose some patience here and there too. But the whole point is, he took his eyes off of what God promised him, or he would never have done that. And we do that, but it doesn't stop God from continuing to work with us till he gets us to the place that he wants us to be. I want you to look at Numbers 23. Joe, why don't you read that one? And then Numbers 23, verse 14. I think it's 14 or 19. It's 19. Put my glasses back on. Numbers 23, 19. You'll read it, yeah.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Okay, and look at Romans 4:21. Bob McCall, would you read that one?
Mm-hmm. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform.
So when we are fully persuaded, what do we look at? What God promised to perform. Look at 2 Timothy 2:13. And Trisha, would you read that one?
2 Timothy 2:13. Mm-hmm. If we believe not that he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. He swore upon himself because there was none other to swear upon, and he is faithful. God is faithful, and that's what we really have to build in our mind in a day-by-day process. Because the adversary will come, and he will come to steal, kill, and destroy anything in your life that has anything to do with God Almighty. And we have to understand and know that God is not going to let that happen to us. He is there to protect us, take care of us, to guide us, to direct us. But we have to open up our hearts and stay meek to him. Not to the circumstances of what is going on around us or the emotional feeling we may have at any given time. If God has made a promise to you and you have gone to God, you are going to receive what God has promised to give to you at the right time in your life. And that is a promise from His Word. See, God does not say these things haphazardly. And what happens when we lose focus is we try to figure out the solution. Done that? Mm-hmm. Been there, done that many times. And I'm going to tell you, it don't work too good. Does never work out the way it's supposed to work out. And yet God is very patient and kind with us. And so you know what He does? He just keeps waiting for us to refocus and to get our hearts full of peace so He can do the things that He needs to do for us. So we got to stay focused on our God. Look at Psalms 3, chapter 3. I don't mean Psalms, I mean Proverbs, I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 3. Actually, I'm telling you, the manifestations this morning, I don't know about you guys, but my heart is still beating really fast. From the intimate, loving things God said to us this morning. This is our God. This is our Father. Oh my gosh, I'm still just so kind of overwhelmed at the love He poured out. I mean, He always does, but sometimes it's just the right thing to say to us at the right time. And today was that for this group of people. Oh. God. You just think it can't get any better sometimes, and then He just lays something like that, wraps His arms completely around our entire bodies, and just pours His love into our hearts this morning like that. What an amazing privilege we have to hear from God at a believer's meeting like that. You know, there's not a lot of churches that do that, people.
No.
Sometimes you don't show up, you miss something like that one. Whoa! Anyway, Proverbs chapter 3. Remember, this is about patience, being able to endure delay, and keeping your focus on God. And here is the big kahuna in this. This is the big finale here, okay? First one. My son, do not forget my laws, but let your heart, and you know what? For your heart, the innermost part of you, to hold God's word, you must be meek. We cannot be stiff-necked and bull-headed and argumentative. And, yeah, God, but. No, you know what? We have to keep our hearts meek and humble to our Father. He needs meek and humble hearts. So when He needs people to do something, to a direction that He gives us, someone that needs ministering to, we're ready. We're not having some kind of disagreement with God because we don't think He's done something fast enough. We need our hearts meek. Okay, so we're to let God. We're to keep God's commandments for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Well, bummer. You mean I'm going to be peaceful? I'm going to have a long life? I mean, who doesn't want that? So yeah, God, pour those things into my heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Not just God, but man too. Now, do we put our trust in men or women? No. But we should be able to trust each other to speak the word to one another in love. Whether that's reproof, whether that's doctrine, whether that's a hug, whatever it is. We need to be able to show mercy to one another, just as God shows mercy to us. And we can't do that if we don't have our hearts set with Him. Because we'll find a reason not to. Okay, ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And this is where it can get dicey. When you're waiting for an answer from God and it's taken some time, or it's coming in a different way than you can see at the moment, you got to trust God with your heart. And you cannot lean to your own understanding. Because, God, we will screw it up. When we take something back from God that we've asked him for and prayed about, we usually mess up what God's trying to do. We need to have that trust in God, and we need to know in our hearts, and I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't really know this. God is faithful. Nothing separates us from the power of God. Nothing. Remember that section in Romans? Maybe that'd be a good one to read, Romans 8 today. Nothing can separate us from the power and the love of God. Nothing. God will not mess up your prayer life. Okay? We might mess up our own prayer life. God does not do that. God is faithful. You know that what Barney had to say early, I am what the Word of God says I am. I can be what the Word of God says. Do that one again.
It's right there.
Oh! I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. Well, you know what? God is what he says in his Word he is. God will do what God says he will do. God can do what he says he will do. And God wants to do what he says he can do. This is a relationship that goes both ways. And our part is to keep focused on God and the promises of God's Word. And our prayer life will grow. Our wisdom, our understanding of things in life that we would not understand if we did not have this relationship with God will get richer. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's talking to you and you're like, oh, I don't know what to say. You know, this is heavy. And then, bam, God lays it right there in your heart. You speak it with the love of God. And that person just looks at you and goes, that's exactly what I needed to hear. How did you know that? Well, you know what I usually say when I'm in that? God. God put that on my heart. I'm not smart enough to figure that out on my own. But isn't that what this relationship with God is supposed to have? Isn't that part of it? Our relationship with him is just so, yes, we trust him. We have faith and confidence in him. We will not be moved by the adversary's tricks, lies, deceit.
Amen.
We won't be moved. We're going to stand on the promises of God. We're going to believe what our Father tells us, irregardless of what the adversary tries to lay in front of our face. Reject it. You don't have to accept it. He's the father of what?
Lies.
And he's good at it. So you know what? If you're wondering, well, is this God? Is this really what I should do? Open up the Bible. If it doesn't line up with these scriptures, wrong. Don't bite. Don't take the bait. If it's not in love, there's your first, that's one of my first ones to go. And what I'm about to do, is that the loving thing to do according to the Word? Well, not really. Then don't do it. Don't do it. It's not that hard. But it definitely has to be done with a meek heart and a determination to stay focused on what God tells us and shows us about He Himself. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He absolutely will direct your path. But stay on the path He puts you on. Don't go down Highway 52's exit. And if you do, when you wake up, and you will, get right back on that path. Sorry, God, I blew it. I kind of looked my own direction. And you know what? He goes right to work. And when you're over here, he's protecting you all the way. Don't think he's not involved. It's just you're not listening, not him. God's huge, man. There ain't nothing out there better. I'm going to tell you that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. There it is again. Fear. And that fear isn't, oh, I'm afraid if I don't do it, God tells me to do it. No. That fear is awe and respect. We have enough brain cells to understand that we need to have that reverence for God and that God needs to hold that reverence in our heart. So we don't fear God, but we respect Him and we honor Him. So that's what that word could also be translated as, okay? Be not wise in your own eyes, but reverence the Lord and depart from evil. Just don't have anything to do with it. Just depart. You know what depart means? Leave. Move in a different direction. Do not be chained to. So depart. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You want to be strong? Right here. This is it. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. Read your word. Take it out every day. Read it. Ask God, what do you want me to learn today, God? And God will give you a place to go. Journal. That's a great way to communicate with God. The point is, communicate with God so that your trust and confidence is focused on Him and not on the things of this world and not even on yourself. Sometimes I think I'm so smart, but I screw things up when I get to that point. Is that okay to say that? I said it. So there it is. I mess it up. When Vicki starts doing it her way, I might as well hit the highway because I'm doing what God's wanting me to do. But man, when you lock your heart in with God and no matter what the circumstances, you stay put, your life becomes a lot more simple and a lot more fun. And then you know what? You're freed up to give to others, to help others. And I tell you, if we're not giving, then there needs to be a checkup this way. Because God wants us to give to one another. He wants us to minister. That's why He put us in a body. So, that's it, people. It's that simple. We have to have our trust and confidence in God, and we stay focused on that. And if we get on the exit, get right back on when you realize what you've done. And God is going to be right there doing what only God, the creator of this universe, our Father, can do. Okay?
Okay.